So we have Felipe, who's going to give us a talk about revamping the container systemd driver. He works for a small blue website, which some of you may be using. But Felipe, I think you're a brand new star there. So why don't you take it away? Thanks.
Hi, all. I'm Felipe. I'm part of the Facebook delegation. Tell you a little bit about me. So I work for Facebook. And I care a lot about cgroupQ and about containers. I've actually been with Facebook recently. I started working in June, so very recently. Previously, I was working on Kubernetes. I was working at Google, actually. And I was working on Kubelet and focusing on cgroupQ. And I've been a systemd contributor since 2014. So what's this talk about? So this is about containers in the Docker Kubernetes world. I mean, there's kind of like different approaches for containers. There's systemd and Spaun, there's LXC, and there's Docker Kubernetes. And this is about that world. It's about cgroupQ as well. And it's about systemd. So a little bit about the state of the cgroup world. So these days, systemd can be considered as the main user space API to cgroups. I mean, you can definitely like talk directly to the kernel, like through the cgroup tree. But systemd is trying to expose this in a nice to use interface through dbus or through units. And there are kind of three-ish modes for the cgroup hierarchy. So there is the legacy mode, which is cgroup only. Then there's the hybrid mode, which already mounts the cgroup to tree, but doesn't really use it for any of the controllers. And then there's the unified mode, which is cgroup to only. There's kind of like, with the hybrid, you can actually move some of the controllers into the cgroup to tree, like enable them in the cgroup to tree, but that's not something anyone is doing anyways. Hybrid is where like most people are right now, because like since systemd versions of like 2 or 3 years ago, it's been fairly stable. But that means like people are still using cgroup one. And unified is where we would like to be with the controllers using cgroup two. So motivations for why we want cgroup two. And so like the hierarchy is better, is sane. Delegation works better. There's new controls. Like Dan was talking a little about like memory.low. That's something fairly new to cgroup two. Also, io.wait is coming to cgroup two as well. So cgroup two is already like, there's a lot of improvements that are coming to cgroup two only. All this eBPF goodness is coming to cgroup two as well. So Alban talked about trace loop earlier this morning. That's cgroup two. My colleague Julia is coming to talk about BPF more later, and all this is connected to cgroup 2. Fedora 31 is going to be using the unified hierarchy by default. So that's a strong motivation to... It's all dance. And we would like to have, like, drive up the adoption by other distros as well. And cgroup 2 also improves support for nested containers. Like a lot of this work we've been talking about, like with rootless and daemonless, like cgroup 2 makes a lot of that easier as well. So those are the motivations to have better integration between libcontainer, well, to better support for cgroup 2 in libcontainer. I give a small explanation of where the components are. Many of you might be familiar with that. But there's like quite some container managers these days, like for instance, like Podman, Docker, Cryo, and Containerd. So Podman and Docker are mainly like user containers, so like user container managers, so like you run your own containers there, while Cryo and Containerd are backends, like our servers, our daemons that are serving like Kubernetes. And yeah, Kubelet talks to either Cryo or Containerd through the CRI protocol. And all of those actually use runc to execute, to actually run the containers. And runc uses libcontainer. Actually, like both components are like same project, same source tree. And which of those components support the unified hierarchy, support cgroup-gen natively? And only one of them does, like, presently, which is Podman. And it does it mainly because it uses crun, which is like a re-implementation of the runc kind of CLI, and has fixes to work with cgroup-gen. So does that mean that that we could simply have the others use crun and that would solve our problem? In fact, it doesn't, because everything else, in fact, depends on, like, links to libcontainer uses libcontainer. So just changing the runtime is not enough. So digging a little into libcontainer. So libcontainer has several components to kind of create abstractions on Linux's like features for containers. So, like, versus like namespaces and capabilities are other things that libcontainer abstracts, and cgroups are one of them. And so, like, we're looking at the cgroup part of libcontainer, and it supports two separate drivers. One of them is cgroupfs, which essentially writes directly to the cgroup tree, to like sysfs cgroup file system. And the other one is systemd that uses the bus calls to talk to systemd. And so the main, if the systemd driver was always going to systemd, this wouldn't be a problem because systemd, the bus interface abstracts whether you're running unified or hybrid or legacy, and exposes like a consistent API. But the systemd cgroup driver or libcontainer actually uses systemd for some operations and then goes around it to change limits and settings in cgroup tree as well. So a first attempt in revamping this libcontainer systemd driver was rewriting large parts of the systemd cgroup driver to actually go through systemd all the time through the bus and not really write directly to the cgroup tree anymore. And I actually opened a PR for that. But this attempt actually failed. And it failed, but like was useful to learn something from it. So one part is like touching this legacy code that's been around is hard. There are problems there. One thing is like compatibility with versions of systemd. So like the reason why this lib container driver is writing directly to the cgroup tree is that when it was written, systemd was not supporting many of the limits it's setting. And so, like, this first attempt was fine if I run it against systemd 241 or 242 or like 243 for sure, but not really if I go back to like a systemd from, say, like something widely used like Ubuntu 18.04 or even like RHEL 7 with systemd v219. So that's definitely an issue that needs a fix here. And the other part is features that were missing from either systemd or the kernel. And one example is freezing, like a cgroup, that was only made available recently on the kernel, on cgroup 2 implementation in the kernel. So that was another part. I mean, there were some attempts to work around it, but in the end, it's like a limitation there. So the new proposal is to split this systemd instead of replacing, like, rewriting the code of the systemd driver, is actually splitting into two separate implementations. One for the legacy hierarchy that's going to cover basically like legacy or hybrids, but basically it's going to be cgroup v1 mostly, and it's actually the current code. And the second one that's going to handle the unified case, and the one with the unified case is going to be able to go through systemd essentially all the time. So yeah, a separate unified interface. And the the advantage of this approach is that we can enable the new implementation only when we figure out that we're running on a unified tree. And so we don't need to worry about compatibility with other OSs like CentOS 7, RHEL 7, Ubuntu 18, or even 16, or so on. So one of the issues I mentioned is the for compatibility of the DBus API. This is something that should be solved in systemd to allow for this kind of implementation. For this, this is like a general issue with clients of systemd for this group API. So like right now, if you make a systemd unit and you write specific options, if systemd doesn't recognize some options, it's going to simply ignore those. And that's by design, and that's fine, because like if you're using limits that only a newer version of systemd is going to recognize, and you run it on another version of systemd, that unit is still going to work, and it's going to simply ignore those directives it doesn't know. But that's not the case with the DBus interface. So when I'm creating a unit with a DBus interface, and I ask it to do let's say IO wait, which is like something that's new that's coming with is not even like in the latest systemd, and it doesn't recognize it, simply like that DBus call is going to fail. So this needs to be fixed in systemd, and probably through a DBus protocol that can take optional directives and probably report back on the ones that weren't available in that version of systemd. Missing features in systemd and kernel is something that has been worked on, and like for instance, like free support was something that was mentioned previously, and that's actually available. Like cgroup.freeze is available on cgroup2.3 in kernel 5.2. So that combined with the need for like a DBus API to do compatibility and backward compatibility of directives means like we probably need a fairly recent fairly recent stack of kernel plus systemd to make this work. The good news is that like we seem to be right on time for distros to actually start switching to running a unified hierarchy. So we can assume that most of those features are going to be in place when they switch to unified hierarchy, so we can solve this problem in a way that all the components are deployed already together and everything works. So the envisioned future is one where the driver detection based on unified or legacy hierarchy is made by libcontainer and can switch to unified to using a systemd implementation based on mounting the unified hierarchy. And it's going to be fully functioning starting on specific versions of systemd and kernel. Kernel 5.2 looks like it has like most of the features needed. And perhaps the next version of systemd could have everything that we need for that as well. And hopefully that helps driving up adoption of unified hierarchy by other distributions other than Fedora. And I wanted to do a call to Giuseppe from Red Hat, who has been working on this problem. Like his focus is slightly different than this one. He's been working on re-implementing the access to the cgroup tree on libcontainer, and he has one PR merged, and so like he already split the legacy and unified driver, and he partly fixes the problem. He doesn't fix the problem for RunC, but fixes the problem for the other users of the library like kubelets and cryo, and still writing to the cgroup 3 directly. And he doesn't really implement some of the controllers, like for instance, like the device controller in cgroup 2, like the systemd implementation is based on eBPF. So that would require like writing eBPF into libcontainer. And that's one of the reasons not to do that. I mean, to go through systemd, because you don't need to re-implement that. One alternative or additional approach to consider is using systemd's recommendation for delegation, so that instead of simply creating new C groups under the root of the tree, it would essentially use the recommended approaches like Leonard Ward wrote this document like a while ago with recommendations of like how you could just simply, well, you can just use systemd natively, so you get slice units and scope units. But you can also like simply have your service delegate and then create a year three under your service, or create a new scope with delegation and then create your own tree. So that would mean that like container manager manages that whole unit, and from systemd point of view, it's a single C group essentially. There are drawbacks from that approach, which means like seeing this as a single thing means like whenever it needs to take action on that unit, it's going to see all the containers running on the machine as a single unit. And one item for future work is evaluating like the cgroup2 controllers and the OCI. OCI is the standard like image format for Docker containers and Kubernetes containers. And so the OCI specifies like, well, there's the image itself, and there's also which constraints you use, which limits you set, and so on. And it turns out the OCI attributes for resource control are very tied to the cgroup1 model, which has been changed a lot in cgroup2. And cgroup2 is still evolving. Like we were talking earlier about the new controls that are coming. So this probably can take some work looking at newer controls, perhaps higher level controls instead of very low level ones, and ability to do extensions as well. And yeah, that was it. Thank you.
Hi. So I've been reading those pull requests for a while, and I've got the impression that RunC is slowly moving to become a wrapper on top of systemd. Is my impression correct?
I think maybe. I think there's the interest of supporting the case of like not running on systemd anyways. Like many use cases are like, for instance, like nested containers where you don't necessarily have like a systemd PID1 in the first container. So you want to support the use case of of being able to write directly to a delegated cgroup3. Also, like I mentioned, like libcontainer doesn't do only cgroups. This is actually like a very small part of what libcontainer does, and it only needs to interact with systemd for those particular cases of managing cgroup3. Like namespaces is something you do on your process. Capabilities is also something you can set and set. So in that sense, yeah. I'm sure if that answers your question.
Hiya. Regarding the fact that OCI embeds basically how cgroup v1 was designed into the API, yeah. I wonder whether or not this also affects systemd. I know obviously dbus is extensible, but how is that problem being dealt with for the dbus API?
Sure. Yeah. So there were some cases where some limits were met. I think in a way. Looking at the history of systemd, what happened is like cgroup2 and systemd, like systemd support for resource control were developed pretty much in parallel, so that systemd at some point even like stopped trying to expose some of the cgroup1 APIs, waiting for the cgroup2 API to happen. There have been some cases where some directives were mapped, like memory limit mapped to memory max, since the name on Cgroup 2 is memory.max, and it's like there's some semantics don't match exactly, but they're close enough in some cases. So in that sense, I think systemd bypassed this problem somehow, like for the most part, by at some point planning to implement Cgroup 2 mostly.
The Kubernetes community was somewhat hostile to the changing to Cgroups v2 for a while. When we were trying to move to Cgroups v2, the Kubernetes community was probably the, and specifically Google, and,
thank you.
was hostile to changing to Cgroups v2 because they just thought Cgroups v1 was good enough. Have you seen that attitude change?
I was sad
to see you leave Google to go to Facebook.
I think essentially what happened is like a question of prioritization, right? It wasn't the top priority. And now when people are thinking, especially at things like eBPF and how much stuff is coming on eBPF, and it's like you see people talking about eBPF all the time. And that's the thing that I think is changing a lot of the attitude towards Cgroup 2, because like we want eBPF, so like let's take Cgroup 2 for that reason. But there's a lot of enhancements on Cgroup 2, and actually tomorrow we'll have Anita and Daniel talking about UMD and Johannes talking about Senpai. So like there's a lot of stuff that's being developed on Cgroup 2. People saw the potential in Cgroup 2 and invested there. So while Cgroup 1 was clearly like got to the limits and
Hi. Yeah. Speaking about that too, weren't those Cgroup, BPF features also enabled by choosing a hybrid approach? Why was the hybrid approach not pursued more?
There are actually limits to, you can get some BPF features, like you can run some BPF traces on the hybrid approach, but it's fairly limited what you can do. Like if you actually unlock the unified Cgroup tree with the controllers, like the information you get is much, much richer. So, to a limited extent, you can get some of the eBPF features on Cgroup, on the unified approach, but you get much better integration in Cgroup 2. Yes.
Just to mention that regarding the hybrid approach, like in retrospect, I think it was a mistake. We have added that to systemd. Like it's a stopgap that has no future, and we should not have done that. So forget about the hybrid mode. It's just, if you waste your resources in that, then you waste them for nothing. So.
It's where we are today. And
So I'm sorry for much that.
It's okay. I can come here and give a talk about
it. I was just kind of curious in some of the stuff, like even what you mentioned with CRUN, if that was, I know that a lot of people are using libcontainer in places, but it's been kind of curious, and I'm not just boasting it because Giuseppe works for Red Hat, but we're getting contributions from it from interesting places because it now supports this stuff natively and it runs lighter and like MIPS and all this other kind of stuff. Was it even much of a consideration there to just do that, or
to use CRUN
instead of libcontainer, or what?
Sorry, to use CRUN instead of libcontainer? No. To use CRUN instead of libcontainer,
or instead of RunC and so forth. Yeah.
Yeah. So CRUN. So some of the immediate problem of like unblocking part of this, because CRUN, it's a whole re-implementation and has been done with a lot of Cgroup 2 directly. But the fact is CRUN is like a standalone container runner, while libcontainer is a library that's actually used by most of the other components, right? So that's why just switching to CRUN doesn't work for the general case. I mean, it would work for cryo, like just not using libcontainer and using C1. But Kubelet is also using libcontainer to create its slices and write, so.
Yeah, on the topic of mistakes we should never have made, I think telling people they should use libcontainer or even suggesting this was a good idea was a mistake in retrospect, I think, especially since the libcontainer API makes absolutely no sense. And so I mean, it's a bit late to say this now, but it would have been nice to convince people 4 or 5 years ago to not do this. But yeah, we're stuck with it, unfortunately. But I do think that we should, even if we do get secret V2 stuff in libcontainer, we should still convince people to stop touching it directly, at least until we redesign it or something.
All right.
One last question.
So a question on that specific slide. Most of it is red, and that's kind of like blocking, let's say, wide adoption of cgroup v2 everywhere.
Yes.
Do you have more or less a gut estimation of like a rough timeline of when that is going to get like greener, at least like reaching the top levels of greens?
So actually, I mentioned Giuseppe's PR, which actually was created and merged after this slide. So like that actually unblocks a lot of this stuff. And I'm fairly sure it unblocks the kubelet connection. So kubelet and libcontainer can use cgroup 2 already. And I assume cryo as well. Then, yeah, okay. Yeah, so that unblocks it, like most of it, yeah.
All right, thank you, Felipe.
Thank you.